Blog Talk Radio.
Presiding Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom People. You know what this is. This is the show that features the anointed and the appointed in God's kingdom. I am one of your hosts, Overseer Jamel Elliott, and I have the distinct pleasure of co-hosting today with Bishop D.D. Allen, the second presiding bishop of our fellowship. How are you, sir?
I am doing well and excited. We are back another week of our radio show, and I'm looking forward to having a good time.
Amen. We are so excited about the preaching powerhouses that are coming forth today. Let me tell you, people of God, we are in for a treat, and we are about to go into the presence of the living God. So prepare your heart for the word. But before we do, we have to tell you that Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International, where Bishop Derek Robinson is our international presiding bishop, is one of the fastest growing and most dynamic fellowships anywhere on the planet. That is just a fact, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to experience the touch. So go to kdfi.net, that's kdfi.net, and see what this dynamic fellowship has to offer. And also, Kingdom People, we have to say thank you. Come on, Bishop Allen, say thank you. Tell them thank you.
Thank you,
Bishop Allen. Pray for them, y'all. Because of you, we have been able to bless all of our guests that have come on since we began our Cash App. We are so grateful for what you have done. So please give whatever God is laying on your heart to $KDFI Radio. That is $KDFI Radio, and we're going to continue the tradition that we started, and we are going to ask you to put a name on your seed. So when you go to $ KDFI Radio, just name your seed. Woo! Whatever it is you need God to do. And can I just testify for a moment? I named two seeds. Hallelujah. And God has done everything I've asked him to do thus far. I can't wait to give today. I'm excited. And so we're believing that you're going to continue to be generous. So right now, please go to $KDFI Radio and name your seed. Amen. Well, we don't want to delay any further. We want to bring on our very first guest right now, Pastor Corey Holmes. Welcome to KDFI Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you all so much. Amen. Thank you. We do know that protocol has been established already. I do want to say to you, thank you again for the opportunity. For allowing me to come forth and to bring forth a word as God has placed on my heart this morning, this evening. Those of you that have your Bibles or a form of it in your care, amen, we want to invite you to a very familiar passage of Scripture. We want you to turn with us, if you would, to the 23rd number of Psalms, Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Amen. Psalms 23, and while you're getting there, amen, I'm going to lift up a few seconds of just a song as you're getting there and turning there. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen, amen. Psalms 23, beginning at verse number 1. And it reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. And I want you all to be prayerful with me for just a few minutes this afternoon on the thought, how is your relationship with the shepherd? How is your relationship with the shepherd? In my 30 years of living, I've come to the realization and I've come to understand and discover that relationship in life is very, very important. I've come to understand that while relationship is important, who we have relationship with is even more so important than relationships themselves. And as we're looking at this 23rd number of Psalm, we come to understand here that we are talking about King David. Now, for you Bible scholars, for those of you who've read the story, those of you who know what the word says, you know that King David was not always a king. We understand and we know that at one point King David was a little shepherd boy tending to his daddy's sheep. And what we see as we look at King David is we understand that even though David has now found himself being anointed and being appointed and being elevated by God, he's no longer in the field, but he's rather out now as the king, finding himself still with a humble heart. But what we see from David is that even though he's been elevated, even though David has been moved on to a new assignment, David still remembers the relationships that he developed over and down through the years. Here I would imagine that David was sitting there as a king now, adapting to everything as now he has stepped into those shoes as God has ordained him. And I would imagine that David was having a Thursday where he was just looking and having a flashback or just a throwback, and he found himself remembering those days. I would imagine that David was finding himself trying to recall the best times that he had in his life. I can believe and imagine that David was trying to think about the times in his life when he didn't have as many responsibilities as the king, but rather he had one job, and that was to tend to the sheep. As you see, relationship is very important, because no matter where you go in life, you got to always remember where it is that you came from. And as David is here in this 23rd Psalm, he is remembering where he came from. And I would imagine that he could have possibly even been just a little down and out on this day. And he said, what is it that I used to do that used to help make my sheep feel better about the day? And then I would believe that David would go into verse number 1, where he says that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. But to understand the Lord being our shepherd, we've got to be able to say that we've got a relationship with the Lord. In order for the Lord to be our shepherd, we've got to be able to say that we have a relationship with the shepherd. But going a little bit further, you cannot just say that you have a relationship with the Lord and a relationship with the shepherd without first dealing with self. Because you cannot be related to the shepherd unless you have identified that you are a sheep. Once you've identified that you're a sheep, then you can say, I'm now connected with the shepherd. And that's what David did. And David went a little further to say, not only is the Lord my shepherd, and not only am I connected to them, but he says that I shall not want. So three things that I want to lift up here tonight from this scripture and from this text. And the first thing is that a relationship with the shepherd will give you provision. The relationship with the shepherd will give you provision. David says that I shall not want. Here we understand that when you're connected to the right people in life, when you have relationships with the right people in life, God will provide and God will make a way. And God will give you that provision that you need when your enemies are all around, when folk are hating on you, when folk are doubting you, when folk are saying what you can do and what you cannot do, when that relationship has been built and established with who it needs to be built and established with. The shepherd will give you provision. But as we're looking at verse number 2, it says, he's making me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. When you begin to look at sheep, when you begin to research sheep, you will come to understand. You will notice and you will discover that sheep have a tendency to just wander around. It is a natural born instinct of a sheep. A sheep will just wander around. That's why they have to have a shepherd, because the shepherd has to be there to herd the sheep. We often hear, and we also understand as well, that sheep don't always know what's good for them. Sheep don't always know what they need. That's why as well they got to have a shepherd. So it says in verse number 2 that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. The second thing I want to lift up here from this text, the relationship with the shepherd will give you protection. It will give you protection. Here in verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down as sheep. Sheep don't know when they're hungry. Sheep don't know when they're thirsty. Sheep don't know when they're tired. Sheep don't know when they're at their last. Sheep don't know when they're tired. They don't know when to lay down.
So that's why it says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Here we've got to understand, saints, that as we are finding ourselves moving forward and as we're finding ourselves matriculating through life, God has a way of protecting his children. God has a way of protecting his sheep, and he sends the shepherd there or the sheep herder there to carry out his assignment and to carry out the orders from God to make sure that the sheep are able to sustain. So as the sheep are not aware that they're tired, he makes them lie down in green pastures. And notice the text says that he makes them lie down in green pastures. It doesn't just say that he makes them lie down, because you've got to understand that sheep are very, very funny acting animals. Sheep won't lay down if there are fleas or bugs or other parasites around. Sheep won't lay down if they're tired, and sheep won't lay down if they're hungry, and sheep won't lay down if they're thirsty. Sheep won't lay down if they're scared and they're timid. Sheep naturally are timid creatures. So the shepherd has to make sure that the environment is proper. He has to make sure that the environment is associated and aligned properly. The relationship has to be right in order for the sheep to lay down, which is that in the green pastures. Those are areas that are clean, areas that are pure, areas where the sheep are safe and secure. But then it says that he leadeth me beside the still waters. Still the protection. The shepherd will lead and guide the sheep to water to drink when they're tired, when they're thirsty. And notice the text says still waters. It doesn't say the moving, rushing, raging waters, but still waters. And the waters have to be still because, again, as I said, sheep are very timid creatures. If the water is making too much noise, if the water is beating up against the rocks and is beating up against stone too hard and too sudden and too fast, it will frighten the sheep and the sheep won't drink. So again, we see the protection from the shepherd through the relationship. Verse number 3, it says, he restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. As you're going through life and you're going through your green pasture experiences, as you're going through life and you're going through your still water experiences, I want you to know that even in those circumstances, when everything doesn't work out perfect for you, when everything seems to be going a certain way and all of a sudden a curveball presents itself, I want you to understand here today, saints, that God is using that situation to find himself restoring your soul. Even as we're looking and dealing and coping with this pandemic that we all are in, even as you look to the White House and you see 45 in the White House and some are uncertain if he's coming out in November and some are voting for him in November and some just can't wait for him to get out, whatever the circumstances are or they may be. Everything that happens in life, God has a way of using it to restore your soul. But it says further in verse number 3 that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As sheep and as individuals, even as you find yourself being a pastor, being a leader, being an overseer, being a deacon, whatever title you may find yourself holding, whatever role or responsibility you may find yourself holding, the greatest sign of being a leader is that of servanthood. You've got to be able to be a servant before all things. And if you're going to be an effective leader, You have to first learn how to follow. It's very important to learn how to follow to be an effective leader. So he leads me in the path of righteousness. We got to be able to follow down that path of righteousness. And as we're navigating and as we're finding our way down that path of righteousness, we've got to make sure that everything we do, God gets the glory for his name's sake. So many times in church we mess up and we make the mistake of trying to glorify self. We try to elevate ourselves without giving God's name the praise. But everything that we do down here is for the sake of God's name. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're still dealing with protection here. Still dealing with protection. It's a beautiful thing to know, saints, that even in the most tryingest of times in life, when you're going through the valleys, when you're dealing with your valley experiences, when you're going through the shadows of death, when you're walking and you can see shadows around you, it's a beautiful thing to know that you don't have to be afraid. It's a beautiful thing to know that thou art with you, because you can know thou art with you, because when your relationship is right with God, when your relationship is right with the shepherd, you know when the shepherd is there, even when you can't physically see the shepherd. When we find ourselves looking at this verse, we all have been in situations before when shadows have been present. And when you look at a little baby or you look at an animal or a creature, a lot of times, more so than often, when they see a shadow, sometimes it's even their own shadow will scare and frighten them, and it will cause fear to be able to surface. But I like this scripture and this verse because it says, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. You don't have to be afraid today because God is with you. And that rod and that staff, they comfort me. It's been nice being able to be here with all of you all tuned in here on the radio station. It's been nice being able to see and hear your smiling faces, but I've got to get ready to leave you now. But David says here at the end of verse number 4, he says, that rod and that staff, they comfort me. Now, when you look at the rod and the staff, you notice that those are tools of correction. And it's beautiful as David begins to look at those tools of correction, and he says that they comfort him. Because a lot of times in life we find ourselves going through situations and we can't seem to get past the idea and the notion that we can only grow when we're able to receive constructive criticism. When we can't receive constructive criticism or we're not open to it, we will never be able to elevate and go to the next level. But David says that the rod and the staff comfort me. The rod, which is an object around the belt, and the staff, which is used to gather and guide and direct the sheep. But he says in verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Are y'all praying with me? And my cup My cup running over today. Are y'all praying with me? But I'm glad today. I'm glad to know that I have a God who will allow his relationship with me to give me the final and the last thing that I want to leave with you here today. And that is that a relationship with the shepherd will give you placement. Are y'all praying with me? The relationship with the shepherd will give you placement in your life. Are y'all praying with me? He prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. Are y'all praying with me? And I don't know about you today, but for God to be able to prepare me a table shows a personal relationship. Are y'all praying with me? For God to prepare me a table in the presence of my enemies. Are y'all praying with me? That lets me know that God loves me and he cares for me as his sheep. Are y'all praying with me? And he anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Are y'all praying with me? I want somebody to know today that as long as you sit at the table with the God up above, are y'all praying with me? He will anoint you. He will appoint you. He will take care of you and cause your cup to run over today. God will take care of you. I know he will, and I know he can. When enemies are all around, God will take care of you.
Yes, God.
Thank Hallelujah.
You,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Can
Thank
we just
you,
have
Lord.
A moment of worship? Hallelujah. I know there are people on the line
God
and we
will.
Can't hear you all, but just worship where
yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh,
Thank
glory
you.
Be to God. What is your relationship with the shepherd? Oh, glory be to God. Pastor Holmes, we want to thank you for that word, man of God. Hallelujah.
Bless you.
Thank
God,
you,
bless
Jesus.
You.
Oh, hallelujah. When you came on, you went right into the word, amen, and we didn't even get a chance to ask you what the name of your church is or how long you've been pastoring. So could you tell us that
amen.
On today?
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you all so much. Amen. All praises be to God. The name of my church, the Love Center ATL, Love Center ATL. Amen. I founded a church last year after a previous pastor of 5 years. God placed it on my heart and gave me the vision to start the Love Center ATL. We are currently located in Decatur, Georgia. Amen. That's where we're at, Decatur, Georgia. Amen. We're coming up on
Amen.
Our first year church anniversary, fourth Sunday in September, September 27th. Will be our first year anniversary. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, man of God, we need to celebrate you on today.
Come on. Congratulations. Yeah.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hallelujah. First year anniversary. Amen. That was a powerful word. Oh, glory be to God. What is your relationship with the shepherd? And I know that if we had more time, you could just break it down the way you're talking about how sheep will wander. Amen. And they won't lay down if they're not comfortable. And amen. you just brought out some amazing points on today. I know that was a blessing. There might be someone that desires to ask you to come preach for them or wants to just connect with you. Could you give the people your social media handle so that they could just contact you?
Amen, amen. Yes, I can be reached on social media. Corey Holmes, C-O-R-E-Y. It's Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, Corey Holmes. I'm not one of those preachers and pastors that think to be higher than others. I'll even give you my cell phone. I'll give you my cell phone. You can reach me on my cell. Cell is 404-552-3402. Again, that's 404-552-3402. You can reach me by email at pastor@tlcatl.org. Pastor at T as in Tom, LCATL.org, the Love Center ATL.org. Amen. God bless you all. Love you so much. And again, thank you for the opportunity. And God bless you to our presiding bishop. God bless you.
Amen. Well, we don't want you to go. We want you to stay. We want to bring you back at the end. But please, for those of you who are listening, please invite this man of God to come preach for you and to share his gift. And again, Pastor Holmes, thank you so much. What is your relationship with the Shepherd? Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
before
awesome.
Our first commercial break, Bishop Allen, will you come? Amen.
That's right. Listen, we are having an awesome time here on KDFI Radio, and we are looking forward to having a more time so we can come together and listen to the Word of God. But listen, we need your help. The radio show takes care of itself, and we also make sure that we bless the speakers that come on. So if you could please go to your Cash App and send a seed, KDFI Radio. Again, KDFI Radio. Go to your Cash App and sit in your seat, KDFI Radio. And listen, we want to make sure that we bless you and bless your seed, shall I say. So when you send your Cash App, make sure in the memo section you are putting a need to the seed. Name it so that we can go ahead and pray over it and declare God's works. Listen, we will be back with more KDFI Radio after this commercial.
Might as well put your hands together.
Presiding Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You heard our international presiding bishop. You are listening to KDFI Radio. We are so glad that you have joined us on today. We are getting ready to bring on our second speaker. You need to put in the WhatsApps of our fellowship. It's going down on KDFI Radio. If you are not in a WhatsApp, then you need to text somebody anywhere, everywhere. Let them know that the word of God is getting ready to go forth. There's no place that they should be except on KDFI Radio. We're getting ready to have an awesome time in the Lord. We are bringing on our second speaker, overseer, Dr. Jacob Hobson. Hallelujah. Bless you, man of God, and welcome to KDFI Radio. Amen. Dr.
God
Hobson.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Amen. Welcome. You're on KDFI
Amen.
Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me today. I am so honored to be on with you all. I am blessed to be a part of this great ministry, this great time. Amen. Am I released or
Amen.
Do I need to wait on anything?
We want to just find out what is the name of your church. Where are you located, and how long have you been pastoring?
My name of my church is the Vineyard Ministries, and I have been pastoring this ministry now for, we just celebrated 5 years in January. And so the Lord has been to it. I have been preaching now for 33 years, and so I am excited about that. And our church has the first and only nonprofit grocery store in Virginia, the only one ever connected to a church.
Come on, that's right.
So God has been extremely nice to us. He's been extremely nice to us to where we've been able to impact the community. What was the last question? I missed the last question.
Forget about the last question. Let's go back to what you said. Did you say that you all have a nonprofit grocery store?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
That is amazing. Hallelujah. How long have you had that?
We opened the church January 10th, 2015. And the Lord has blessed it. 9 months after that,
wow,
we opened the store. 9 months after that. What really is the blessing is in our church, we only tithe once a year. Consequently, we tithe, and then the store was open.
Woo, my God. You shouldn't have said that. Tithe once a year. We're going to have to get you back on just to talk about all of that. That is absolutely amazing. I don't want to let you go until I find out more about that, but we know that there is an amazing word on the inside of you, but we're going to hold you to a promise. I need you to give me a promise that you will come back and just tell us more about how your church has this grocery store and is impacting the community. I just think that is fascinating. Will you promise to come back and talk to us about that?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Hey,
you
got to
be
man.
Ready because
well,
it's not for the week. It's not for the week.
See, you're tempting me, man of God. Don't do that. You're tempting me. I'm getting ready to
well,
say
this,
you
this,
can preach next time. I want to hear about the grocery store. But we're not going to do that.
Well,
amen. But listen, we are.
This type of. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. No, please.
This type of obedience is not for the week. When you're talking about an obedience that throws away a lot of old ingrained theology that has nothing to do with the Word of God, it's not for the weak. So it
you
speaks,
talking, sir?
It speaks to really finding out whether or not God means all to you, or does God mean what's comfortable to me? And a lot of us, we have mistaken the responsibility of holding the name of God as something that makes me comfortable and not something that makes me contrite or something that makes me obedient. And so consequently, we have a whole lot of people who have been living a life where we look at God as something and someone who makes me comfortable, not someone who makes me obedient, a disciple. And so we live. I'm gonna stop. We live a follower life with servant expectations, We live a follower life with disciple expectations, and you can't live a follower life hoping that you can get disciple results. I'm gonna stop.
Wait a minute. Just break that one more. Just say that one. You cannot live a follower's life.
You can't live a follower's life expecting disciple results. Consequently, there were times when Jesus. And I guess I'll just stay here. I won't even preach what I was planning. That there were times when Jesus had to separate himself from the crowd because he had to deal with those who were close. And there is a responsibility that is for those who are close. This is why Jesus does not ask them in the presence of people, who do men say that I am? Consequently, because if he asked them, who do men say that I am in front of a crowd, most of us would not watch this. Most of us would get in trouble because we really don't know who he is. We know what we've been told. And if you've been a disciplined follower, you should know by now, after walking with him for more than a year, after walking with him and seeing all of what he's done, all of the results of being around him, after seeing all of that for more than a year, there ought to be some type of discipleship that should spring out of you. But if you are a follower, you have to at some point be dismissed. And there are a lot of people who are living as followers' lifestyle, hoping for disciples. Results, and God is not obligated to give you the results of discipleship when only all you're doing is followers. Watch this. Followers will only follow Jesus because they're looking for a free meal. And the Bible helps me to understand that God is not in the habit of simply giving free meals without requiring your lifestyle to follow after. I'm not talking to nobody. I need your lifestyle to follow after the God that you say you follow. You can't call Jesus Lord, you only look at him as God. There are a whole lot of people that just look at him as God but have never made him Lord. I can't get nobody here to help me.
There are three or four of you
who are on the line right now. You've been asking God for discipleship results, discipleship product, discipleship fruit, but you don't see him as Lord. All you do is see him as God. Watch this. He'll be God whether you believe him or not, but in order for him to be Lord, you have to submit.
Wow.
Woo!
Yes,
come
sir.
On here now. Hey.
So consequently, there is a level of discipleship that speaks to withholding nothing from God, even in the face of what God is saying, in the face of a pandemic. If God told you to do this, are you willing to do it in the face of what's going right and what's going wrong? See, what I love about the man of God who preached prior to me is God chooses what people threw away. Watch the text. The text helps me to understand that David was the throwaway. He was the one that was being hidden. What will you do when God wants to use what you're hiding to elevate who you are? I can't get nobody here to help me. The thing that you chooses to hide is the same thing God chooses to elevate. I can't get nobody here to help. Let me see if I can make it plain. David was the result of his father having an illicit affair on the mother, and the Bible helps me to understand that David was in the field taking care of the sheep. Y'all missed it. I'm going to do it one more time. He's in the field taking care of the sheep. Since when do you put the youngest outcast over the family's money?
Wow. Yes,
because the sheep was the wealth of the family. Consequently, ladies and gentlemen, and if I could pause parenthetically, I want to suggest that God will take the thing that you're trying to hide and build a ministry around it. He takes the mistake of his father and elevates him to kingship. I want to suggest that that's why some of our ministries haven't gone past the level that we're going past or that we're at, is because we refuse to be vulnerable enough with God, a disciple enough with God, that we will give him even our brokenness and allow our brokenness to be in the face of what Okay, what culturally is acceptable? I got to behave. I only have 20 minutes, so since I have to stay here, I'll give you a little taste of it, and I'll jump off of it because I don't want nobody to say that I was negligent to the instructions that were given. Here, the Bible helps us understand in this level of obedience that you cannot pick and choose what you believe about God. Either you believe all of him or you only believe none of him. Let me say that again. Either you believe everything that he said or you don't believe anything that he said. And so many of us who are in the church who have never had a real encounter with God, we've been preaching but never had an encounter. We've been preaching, we've been teaching, we've been playing, we've been saying, but we've never actually encountered God to the point where we literally give all of us and nothing is held back. So God told me, I began to lose everything. I began to lose everything. I lost my house. I lost my cars. My wife and my family, we were staying in a hotel. I was still preaching all over the world. I was still traveling and preaching, but my family was living in a hotel. I can't get nobody here to help me. I need y'all to talk back to me.
My
and
God.
So consequently, I told God, I said, God, if I haven't done anything else, I've been preaching since I was 9 years old. I should have not, by now built up enough spiritual currency that I shouldn't have to go through this. I know some people, y'all not going to be real with me, I know some people who deserve to go through this amount of hell. I know some people who don't have no thoughts about you, who are
Come
not
on,
thinking
sir.
About you,
Come
who
on.
Don't, y'all not going to, don't worry, I don't want y'all to have to tell on yourself, I'll be real by myself. I know some folks who are not doing nothing but starting a whole bunch of hell in the church. I know some people who ain't doing nothing, but all they're doing, God, is living a hellish life with hellish results and causing hell for everybody else. God, I know some people that should be going through this, and God said, I chose you because I know you can handle it. I can't get nobody here to help me. I want to, can I pause right there once more parenthetically to suggest to somebody who's experiencing the worst time of your life, God told me to tell you that you need to understand that this in all things, not because of all things, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, which means, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't have to like it, but I still have to thank him for it. Come here. And so I was at the place where I was telling God, I'm not going to do this no more. I don't want to preach no more. If I got to go through this, God, you can keep the mantle. All of the people that are fighting me over what you gave me, and I don't even know why they're fighting me because they got more than I do. I can't get nobody here to help me. I don't understand why they're fighting me. They got y'all not going to talk back to me. That's all right. I'll preach anyway. They got more than I do, and the truth of the matter is they fighting me, and they looking better than I'm looking. I'm sitting there wanting what they have, and they fighting me for what I have. And I'm trying to figure out why in the world, Lord have mercy, why in the world that they would waste their time on fighting me. And this is what God told me to tell you, that your struggle looks better than their success. I can't get nobody here to help me. Even in your struggle, you look better than what they're going through. You look better than what they succeeded. I can't get nobody to help me. But the truth of the matter is, God told me to tell you, while you sitting here complaining about your struggle, if you start praising more than you did complaining, you'll have more fruit than you have questions. Y'all not going to talk to me. If you start praising me more than you complaining, more than you have problem, more than you talk about your issue, more than you talk about who's bothering you, more than you talk about what they need, if you start praising me, you'll have more fruit than you'll have requests. Y'all not going to talk to me. So I said, God, tell me what it is that I have to do. And this is what I said. And this is just a teaser for the next time I come on. The Bible says he took me to the word of God, Malachi chapter 3. All of you read it. We've quoted it forever, and we've been quoting it for years, and I literally never looked at it the way God gave it to me. And I'm going to give it to you just a small snippet. There's more to it. I just want you to know this is just a small snippet. And so I told the Lord, I said, God, you're going to have to show me, because I've been giving tithes ever since I can remember. Ever since I can remember, my mama's been making me take a dime out of every dollar, and I've been putting it in the collection plate, hoping that you were going to come through, hoping that you were going to make a way out of no way. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you're going to have to do it, because I've been doing everything. So somebody's lying. Either you lying or I'm lying. That's how I talk to God. Because I believe God is such God, he's not scared of my attitude. Y'all not talking to me. I said, Father, there has to be more to you than this. There has to be more to you than waiting for a paycheck. I can't get nobody here to help me. If you are my provider, if you are my shepherd and I shall not want, why am I looking for a job to sustain what my tithe should be doing? Woo! I'm going to do it one more time. Why do I think that I need a job in order to sustain what my tithes are there for? It's God's economic system, not man's. So I sat there and I literally, ladies and gentlemen, I said to God, I said, God, you're going to have to reveal yourself in this, because I refuse to continue to live in a hotel with my wife and four kids. And this is what the Lord told me, and I'm done. Yeah, I think my 20 minutes is up. This is what the Lord told me. The Lord told me, he said, if you would obey my word, then I will honor my part. Y'all missed it. I'm going to do it one more time. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He said, if you will obey my word, I will do my part. I said, okay, well, God, I've been trying to obey your word. Maybe I'm missing it. Show me what you're saying. He said, look at the text. He said, bring ye all the tithes. I said, wait. He said, stop right there. So we get so caught up in knowing what we're reading that we don't even read what we know. Uh-huh. You're so used to reading it that you miss it. And he said, bring ye all. I said, wait a minute, Lord, what you trying to tell me? He said, I never gave you permission to bring me a piece when you got it. Because tithing is an act of faith through obedience. And if tithing is an act of faith through obedience, I got to bring him what I haven't seen, because faith is the substance of what I haven't seen. And the evidence, y'all not going to talk back to me, if faith is not what I've seen, faith is what I haven't seen, which means in order for me to tithe, I have to tithe what I haven't seen yet, and what I believe is God is going to bring to pass.
My God.
We got quiet. And so I literally begin to research this thing, and I got to go because my time is up. I think I have 8 seconds left. I have to go. So I begin to research this thing, and the Bible helps me to understand that there were three festivals of tithing. And so we celebrate, because we are a harvest church, we celebrate the Yom Kippur festival of tithing. And so every Yom Kippur, we bring our expectations for the entire year at one time. Now let me show you something, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'll pause. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're blowing my mind. Keep preaching. I'm sorry.
So we bring what we expect of God for next year. I'm going to do it one more time. I don't want you to miss it. We don't bring what we've received, because that substance, that's not faith. And it does not take a whole lot to bring substance, because you already got it. So what we do at my church is we bring what we're expecting for the following year. And we have a huge feast in our church, wall-to-wall food. We take communion, and we literally give our tithes for the year. Let me give you the fruit of it so far. And I'm going to shut it down. I only have 10 seconds. The fruit of it so far is that this year alone, we've had 9 vehicles donated to the church, which means that not one member of our church is walking. Not one member of our church is carpooling. Not one member of our church. Y'all not going to talk back to me. This year alone, the Lord blessed us to where we purchased 0.6 acres of land for $750.
My God.
Come on, okay. Y'all not catching this. This year alone, I'm not talking about, y'all not going to talk back to me. That's all right. I'm going to keep going. This year alone, we've been given a church van. This year alone, we've been given a box truck. This year, 4 weeks ago, they donated $32,000 worth of candy to the store. You don't like it like that? Let me give it to you one more. Let me keep going. I can keep going. Walmart called us. Walmart, who is supposed to be our competitor, but because we're nonprofit, we really don't have a competitor in the area. And so consequently, Walmart called us, and they said, Pastor Hompson, we want to donate some stuff to you. I said, well, how do y'all know about us? They said, one person's mentioned y'all, and we felt like y'all would be a great fit. Okay, so do you have a box truck? I said, sure do. I said, I'm on my way to you right now. They say, okay, sir, pull up in the back, and we'll bring it out to you. Walmart donated, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, every seed in their store. And we're growing. We already started to eliminate the stuff off the land so we can start our own growth. Y'all not going to talk back to me. Okay, so you don't like it that way. Let me keep going. So Walmart called us back, and they said, well, Pastor Hobson, because y'all were so nice when y'all came, we want you to come back. We got more stuff for you. They donated a pallet. Y'all not going to talk back to me. They donated an entire wrapped pallet of $25 a bag soil. Then they donated all of the growing lights. Then they donated all, y'all not talking to me, all of greenhouses so that we could start indoor growing. Then they donated all of the lights, the bilirubin lights and all of the lights for growing for us to start growing indoors. I was like, okay, God, now we got all of that. We got to have a place to grow indoors. God sent me to this place and he said, I need you to walk in there, tell them this is what you need, and they're going to give you what you need. Then we got a 18-foot trailer already wired up as the site office for an electric company so that we can start growing indoors. We only paid $350 for that. Y'all not going to talk to me. And what I'm trying to help you to understand is not only will God give you what you want, but he'll pull it down into the price range you want to pay. I'm done. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that is amazing. I think that there needs to, for sure, Overton Elliott, be a part two, maybe even a conference on it. But we say, I thank God.
Bishop Allen, can I just say something right now? I think we need to give him 5 more minutes right now.
Go ahead.
I think we need 5 more minutes right now.
Okay, so you want I'm gonna take the 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Here you go. After our Tiger Sunday is the 27th of this month, which is Yom Kippur. On the 29th of this month, the entire church's bills for the entire year are paid in full. Which means that the entire year we don't even take up an offering in our service. Y'all come here, talk to me. We don't take up an offering. We don't stop service to take up offering. The baskets stay where they are. If they give, it's fine. If they don't worry about it. We already, y'all not going to talk to me? Okay. In other words, watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that comes from the store is overflow because the church's bills are taken care of already after Tither Sunday. Which means that we're not living from one program to the next, hoping that we can make budget. Budget doesn't even exist because God never put us on a budget. Y'all not going to talk back to me. Which means that as a 2-year-old, 3-year-old church, we're bringing, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, we have LeJune Thompson and Cedric Thompson of the Donald Lawrence and Thompson, Donald Lawrence and Tri-City Singers. We have slated Donald Lawrence to come. Well, he was slated to come this year before COVID happened. Y'all not going to talk back to me. And it was paid when we made the engagement arrangements. We didn't have to take up. We didn't have to do fish dinners. We didn't have to. And I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't get me wrong. But there has to be something economically wrong with somebody who says that my God owns the cattle on a thousand hill, but we have to. I'm getting in trouble, aren't I?
Oh, no, sir. You
already
you're
in trouble, so you might as well keep going. You already in trouble. Keep going.
There has to be an economic system that deals with the kingdom that speaks beyond. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, we have people who don't go to our church, who have never stepped foot in a service, but have seen what we've done in the community, and they literally send a check every month. It's drafted from their bank. Their bank sends it to us every single month without fail. Ladies and gentlemen, if no one gave tithes, if no one gave offerings, and the store didn't exist, the contributions we get from people who don't go to our church would handle the bills of our church. Y'all not talking back to me. Okay, you still don't like it that way. Let me see if I can do it another way. What I'm trying to help you to understand is, as a 4-year-old church, we gave away 350 turkeys last year for Thanksgiving because the number one R&B radio station in the area came and sought us out. Y'all not going to talk to me. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that when you're obedient to the radical understanding and the tenets of the gospel, God will make those who are supposed to be against you fight for you. I've gotten more fight from pastors than I have from the community. I've got more fight from pastors than I got from heathens. The heathens are supporting me. What I'm trying to tell you is even when, Lord, I'm about to get into so much trouble. The Bible says that David is on his way, ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost, that they have burned down Ziklag. Holy Ghost, help me. They have burned down Ziklag, and that David and the fighting men were sore and vexed, and they were crying till they couldn't cry anymore. And the Bible helps me to understand, I'm about to get in trouble with y'all right now. The Bible helps me to understand that the only reason that David, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, was there was because he had set up camp, watch this, with the enemy, hoping that the enemy would house them until David came into the position he was required to come into or ordained to come into. Watch this. Here it is. They burned down the place that he had set up as a home, that he was never supposed to set up as a home. In other words, he built houses where he should have had tents. And some of us right now, you've built houses on old theology and old rhetoric, and you're never, ever supposed to build houses where you're only supposed to have tents. You're only supposed to have been there when your understanding was there. But since you've been in Jesus for this long, we have to elevate our understanding of who he is. So watch this, ladies and gentlemen. My job today was to burn down the houses and the areas that you've set up homes where you are supposed to only have tents. God never, ever gave you permission. As a matter of fact, some of y'all don't like it this way. I'm going to make it as plain as possible. I've never, ever seen a farmer go to a field every 2 weeks and turn over the soil every 2 weeks and plant seeds every 2 weeks. Every single farmer you know, and every farmer you've never known, and even if you look up farming, every farmer you know knows one thing about planting seeds that you've been calling seeds all this time. You've been calling seeds all this time. They know one thing about planting seeds. In order for me to get the greatest harvest, I have to plant the most seeds at the best time. And I have to stop because my 5 minutes are up. God bless you.
Oh, Lord. my God. What a word. I know that you have blessed people, sir, and messed some people up. Amen. We're gonna have to have an offline. Yeah, we're gonna have to have an offline conversation. So I could dig into this a little bit more. But my God,
absolutely.
What a word! You all are doing a mighty work. I have never heard of a church that had a grocery store, and the way that God is causing people to sow into your bosom. It is just on a level that I have never even heard of. And I am so grateful to you because, and can I just say this, so many times we hear people preaching about struggle, and there's nothing wrong with that because we do struggle. But to hear a man of God come forth and to preach a word like this about what God can do in abundance and prosperity, and at a time of a pandemic, to hear a word about how God can cause people to sow into your bosom, I tell you, has blessed people, and you need to hear this, man of God, has blessed people all over the world. This is an international show, and there are people all over the world that are going to rethink how they give.
Amen.
They're going to rethink
Amen.
How they give.
Amen.
My God.
Amen.
We just thank God.
Amen.
Bishop Allen, if it's all right with you, because Bishop Allen's going to come and let us know who's given. And before, we're going to ask this mighty man of God to pray. Before we do that, we're going to ask you right now, if I know I've sown my seed. If you have it, we're going to ask you to go to $KDFI Radio right now. And so you don't want to miss out on a word like this. I wouldn't dare hear a word like this. Oh, hallelujah. I wouldn't dare hear a word like this and not so. So we're going to ask everyone that has heard that word, who's under the sound of my voice, oh, glory be to God, to sow right now. Please go to KDFI Radio right now and give. I would like you to pray, if you would, man of God. There are those
Absolutely.
Who are saying, I heard you, but I can't give. You know, I have bills, I have all these things laid out, and if I give, it's gonna mess up my budget. I can't just give like you're talking about giving. But I just want you to pray over people right now that they would let that fear drop away from them, and they would begin to give to their houses of worship or give to however God is laying on their heart without fear, knowing you can't beat God's giving. Will you just pray over the people right now?
Absolutely. I want to suggest that whatever you continue to give priority to is what you will see the fruit of. If you give your bills the priority,
wow.
you will constantly reproduce your bills.
My God.
And so I want to suggest to you that wherever you plant your seed is what you will learn and you will see a reproduction of. So, Father, right now,
wow.
in the name of Jesus, I speak to these, your people, with declaration and the intent and the strict understanding of discipleship. I speak to them now, and I call them to another level of discipleship. I call them to another level of obedience. I call them to another level of freedom from fear, knowing that you are the God that speaks and fear has to immediately be eradicated. For your word says to us in Psalms 118 that we will look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. We will look for them and they won't be around. So now, God, I speak to them and I elevate their faith. I elevate their understanding. We elevate not only their understanding, but we elevate their faith to know that you're able. You are the God that they have not tapped into yet. You are the God who can supply, and they have not tapped into the provision of your supply. And so we glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you because they will now see fruit over every seed that they release into the word that has just been given. And we declare, demand, and decree that earth must yield forth its increase in every season, not just in due season. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God and amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. What a word, what a word, what a word. Well, listen, we want to bring Pastor Holmes back. We want to bring you back. And we want to hear from you all for just a few more minutes. So we are going to have a small commercial break, and then we're going to come back. I know I have been blessed, and I am going to start rethinking how I give. Amen. And
Amen.
I can testify Amen. On today that I never would have made it if it wasn't for the Lord. We'll be right back.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it. Without you, I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
is Presiding Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory
Radio.
To God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
Listen,
you.
We
Never
are having an awesome time. Yeah.
Thank
that was,
Jesus.
I think, the
Amen.
Right song, even for this season that we're in. I truly believe that we would not be standing here today if it had not
Thank
been
God.
For God. Listen, I am excited because there are so many people that are sowing and giving. One of our speakers, Pastor Holmes, he sent the seed in. We thank God for him. Overseer Richardson sent a seed in. We also have Minister Elder Erica Wilder that also has sown. Bishop-elect Covington has sown. Overseer Elliott, of course, have sown. I'm sowing. Also, Overseer Tanya Williams has sent her seed in also. Evangelist Wyatt sent her seed in. Listen, there are so many people that are sowing, and we truly thank God. Overseer Martin has sown also.
Amen.
We're thanking
thank
God for
God.
Those that are sowing. And we are truly – listen, the speaker said something and want to bring him back on. He said that wherever you sow in is where you're going to reproduce in. If you could just come on real quick and just – because someone asked a question. How do you know that you are reproducing in the right area? And I just want you to come and address that question. How do we know if we're reproducing in the right area?
Is that for me?
Yes, Dr. Hopton.
All right. I'm going to make that plain. I'm not going to be very deep and lofty with that. I found out that if the ground does not reproduce where you're sowing, it's time either for a year off of the sowing in that ground or for you to stop sowing altogether. Here's, Overseer, here's Bishop, this is what I'm going to help you see. We sow on a seven-year schedule. We sow on a seven-year schedule in my church. So the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, we sow our – if you start at 10%, you 20%, whatever you decide to do. On the third and the sixth years, we sow 5%. We tithe 5%. And then on the seventh year, watch this, here it is, and I can show you this in Scripture. All of this is scriptural based. I did an entire study on it. The seventh year, we don't sow at all. We don't tithe at all. Because what we've learned, hear this, what we've learned is that there is a season where the ground needs time to heal. And so I've learned that if I'm placing seed into a place that does not produce, I've learned that, number one, it could be that that ground has been overworked. Number two, it
My
could
God.
Be that that ground is not fertile. And then number three, it could be that my seed does not have life in it. So sometimes it's not the soil, it's the seed.
Lord have mercy.
I wish I had time to work this, but I don't. Some of you don't realize that when you plant your seed will grow regardless of your attitude. I know that they say you got God loves a cheerful giver,
yeah.
And if you come here
yeah.
grudgingly, you do not. That's not what that text means. It does not mean that you have to change your attitude, because I could be upset, go out into the field and plant seed, be mad the whole time I'm planting seed. But the truth of the matter is, if the seed has life in it, no matter how my attitude is, my seed will produce after its own kind. My attitude doesn't control the seed. The sun, the soil, the rain controls the seed. So what I've learned, ladies and gentlemen,
that if your seed is not producing, you have to either check the ground or check the seed.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Wow. Check the ground or check the seed.
Because you might have gotten seed from a place that was empty.
Yeah.
I don't have time to work this. One of the things, and I'm done. I promise, I'm done. You can't start me on this because I can go for. We took 6 months in just doing this study in my church. What you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that the government has been in a frenzy to control the seed, which is why now you have more seedless fruit than you have anything else on the market. And the question that you have to ask is how do you produce a seed that doesn't produce a fruit that has seeds? Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. That means that, watch this, where you are is putting in you empty word without revelation. That you're in a place where the seed that you are is still empty. Because the seed that you give is an extension of the seed that you are. And the more fertile you are in regards to your word of God, the more fertile you are in regards to your relationship with God, the more fertile your seed will become when you plant them in the ground.
God.
Ooh, my God.
God.
My God.
Yeah.
My
Listen,
God.
That is literally, you're speaking seed, and there's so many people that have been struggling with bearing fruit, struggling with recognizing if even the ground that has been sown is still worth the sowing. I want to ask this if this is crazy. If you could just read the comments, but I want to ask how, and I want to ask if Holmes could jump in also. How can we encourage the pastor that's trying to figure out if their soil is still worth sowing into?
How can we encourage the pastor who's trying to find out if their soil is still worth sowing into?
Yes.
Do you want the raw answer that I have, or do you want me to sugarcoat it?
Raw, sir. Yes, sir.
The pastor who is wondering whether their soil is still worth sowing into is not really wondering, because you'll see the fruit of it. If you're wondering, it's because you've stopped going into the Word of God and you've been on autopilot. And so you have not allowed God to work himself out in you. And so you've literally gone on autopilot.
Good,
your message on Sunday morning, hoping that the message you get on Sunday morning will be enough to transform somebody. But the truth of the matter is you didn't study at all week long. You haven't put yourself in a position to hear God all week long. And consequently, now you're going on a Sunday morning hoping that God is going to give you something that sounds about right. And the truth of the matter is once you've gotten to that place where you're on autopilot, then the soil has become stagnant positions. You've become a stagnant acre. In other words, you're a soil that's not worth sowing into. Because the ground of the ministry will be represented in how the ministry produces fruit that impacts the community.
My God.
If what you're producing does not speak to the community at a level that demands the community to rally behind you. If you're leaving the community and you're not missed, you were never, ever impacting the community. The community was impacting you.
Wow, I've said that so many times. I asked a question a while ago. If you leave your neighbor, if your church closed down, and the neighborhood don't recognize that you're even gone, show you that you're not impacting the neighborhood. Overseer Elliot, I believe you have a question for Pastor Holmes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm still reeling from what I've heard, and I just want Pastor Jacob Hopton to know that he is going to be written an official fine from KDFI Radio, because you can't come on here tearing stuff up like this and not get a fine. So it will be sent to you, sir. There's an official KDFI Radio fine coming to you because you have torn some folk up today, and we're going to have to recover. Amen. But we want to bring Pastor Corey Holmes in on this question, just because there are so many pastors I've heard, I know you all have heard, leaders who just browbeat the people and browbeat their congregants Sunday after Sunday, you know, telling them that they have to give and making them feel guilty if they don't, and just browbeating the people they're supposed to be feeding. And so, Pastor Holmes, we just wanted to know, how do you address giving in your church and with the people that God has allowed you to be the under-shepherd over?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you. With me, and as far as tithing, I've found that the best practice with ministry and the best practice with pastoring, for me, I've been preaching since 2008. And I pastored my previous assignment 5 years. And going into our first year church anniversary, the Word of God, simple answer, the Word of God and teaching from the Word of God, and creating Bible studies, creating seminars, if you will, and creating different series on teaching. So with my membership, I simply teach giving from the biblical perspective. I talk to them about the 10%. And I do, and I understand, and thank you so much, Dr. Hobbs. I know everyone has different methods and ways of giving and things of that sort, but I teach giving the 10% off top, giving God the 10% off top. And when you do that, God will make a way for you, and he will provide. You know, I just remember the olden days, and I remember my grandparents and the elders, they would always give to God what they had off top first. You know, they would give that, and that's what we do. That is what we do, and God has been providing, and God has been making a way, and we don't have any complaints. The Word of God, the teachings of the biblical principles.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I love how you say off top. That is so good, because I have seen people come up when it's time to tithe, just in different churches, and kind of reaching into their pocket and kind of going through whatever loose change or whatever they happen to have. And I always say, you don't give God what's left, you give God your best. Oh, glory be to God. And I think that there are too many times, whatever method it is that you choose to give, is that we give God the crumbs, but we want God to give us his best. We give God whatever happens to be at the bottom of our pocket, and then we're crying out, God, to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we have not room to receive. We all know that scripture. And so I just think that what's been brought out to here by both of these prolific and powerful preachers is that we don't give God crumbs. We don't give him what's left over, because, see, none of us expect God's leftovers. Hallelujah. Although we can say God's leftovers is better than man's best, amen. But we don't cry out for leftovers. We say, God, we want a full course meal, and yet people are jingling in their pocket for the crumbs. And so I just think that whatever we take away from this is that we give God our best. Not the rest, but our best. And I tell you, both of you have brought that out. And Pastor Holmes, I like how you said we don't have any complaints. And let me tell you, not every church can say that. Amen. Not every ministry can say that. So for you to say we don't have any complaints, hey, we know that God is blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we want to tell you that the ground, oh, glory, that the ground is good on KDFI Radio. We see the fruits spilling over as week after week, powerful preachers are coming to deliver us words that are blessing our soul, and the words just get better and better and better. It makes me so excited for what is to come. So that shows you that the fruit is spilling over and the ground is good. So we are just going to ask you, if you have not sown, that you go to $KDFI Radio right now. Don't miss this Sunday. Don't miss the anointing that's flowing right now. Get in on this. KDFI Radio, amen. Sow your seed. Name your seed. Hallelujah. So that we can touch and agree with you. Bishop Allen, we promised the people that we were going to pray over the seeds that they have sown, that we were going to touch and agree with them for the needs that they have attached to their seed. Amen. So can we do that right now, Bishop Allen? We're going to ask, would you like to pray over those seeds? And even those seeds that are coming, even as we're praying, you may say, I missed it. Listen, God's timing isn't our timing. Amen. God can bless. Even if you're sending it right now, God can bless. Even if you hear this show 2 days from now, there's no distance in God. And so we're going to pray right now over those seeds. Pastor Holmes, Dr. Hobson, if you will also just pray as Bishop Allen goes forward, because I know y'all can get a prayer through. Just pray over these seeds. Bishop Allen?
Father, we thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Lord, we thank you, God, for those that have trusted you and said that, Lord, there is a need. And so instead of them complaining, Father, they're sowing, believing that, God, that you can turn that around. Father, we pray that, Lord, you will send increase, God, and you will be able to touch that situation, God. We pray, Lord, that you will touch those praying over financial breakthrough. God, we pray, Lord, that you will change their mindset, God. God, we're not looking for a Band-Aid, but, Father God, we're looking for a solution to where they will no longer be in that position, even after you bring them out. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will touch the ones that sick, God, those that's praying for healing and deliverance. Father, we pray, God, that you will begin, Father God, to give them, God, the tools that's necessary, Father, for the deliverance, God, to take place. God, I pray, God, that you continue, Father, to encourage your people to trust you more, to lean on you more. Father, we thank you for all the things that you've done. Now, God, we pray that, God, you will bless every seed, God, multiply it, and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is it all right?
I know we're not too sanctified.
And so Diddy, we can just have a moment of praise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yes, God. Yes,
oh,
Father.
Glory be
Thank
to
you,
God.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, God. Well, we want to thank you for coming on, Pastor Holmes and Dr. Hobson, for bringing those words to us on today. I am full. Bishop Allen, I don't know about you, but I'm full. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And if there's anyone listening to this and you're not full because you don't know how to eat, oh, glory be to God. That could be the only reason you're not full, because you don't know how to eat. Glory be to God. And we're going to ask all of you to do this for us. Please, will you send this link to somebody else so that they can hear the words that have gone forth on today. We are so grateful, amen, for the words we have heard. We're so grateful for what's been imparted in our spirit. And if God says the same, we're going to be coming back next week, amen, with more preaching powerhouses to deliver to us the word of God. Thank you again for those who are giving and who – so the giving is still happening. Amen. Thank you for those who are still giving right now. We want you to know that even when we go off the air, we are going to be praying over your seeds. Amen. And touching and agreeing with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
I didn't get an opportunity to release my contact information. Can I do that at this time?
Yes, sir, please. See, you just messed up us so bad that we didn't even go to that. Amen. Please.
I apologize. If you need to contact Pastor Hobson, if you need to contact Jacob, you can contact me via either my secretary. Her number is 757-328-9380. Or you can contact me directly. You can contact me directly through her. If you need to contact us, you can contact us via Facebook. If you are in the market, you can download our app on your App Store or on your Play Store. And it's the Vineyard Ministries app, and you'll just get a little bit of daily dose, as we call them. It's just to give you a little bit of word every single day or once a week, however the Lord leads me to write it up there. And so God bless you. Thank you again. Thank you once again for the opportunity, I love you guys.
Amen. We love you so much, and we're so grateful to both of you. Hallelujah for what you have brought to KDFI Radio on today. Thank God for each and every one of you. We are looking forward. Oh, glory be to God. We are looking forward to coming back next week and blessing you again. Until then, remember, you have been listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom people. God bless you.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's got to get
better. Yeah.
is Presiding Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.